Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, it's Mark Jones here again with the Ice Cream for the Soul Blog Talk Radio Show, and this is the second in a series of talks on chats on yoga, and that's been partly because, well, a lot of people who follow me on Facebook, they know my Facebook name's Yoga Mark, and I'm very passionate about yoga, but it's only this last few weeks that I've actually been bringing the conversations back to what led me in many ways to starting the Ice Cream for the Soul radio show going in the first place, and indirectly it was yoga, and I thought I'd just like to bring it back to yoga. And some yoga teacher friends of mine, they're organizing an international yoga day on the 19th of June here in Spain, and I also thought it'd be a good opportunity to promote that and promote yoga itself. So I'm very pleased to have Dionne Hughes, who's one of those organisers at that event, and she's a yoga teacher here in Spain. So without further ado, it's always a bit hit and miss this. I asked Dionne for some details about herself and then nearly forgot to read them out. And Dionne runs a yoga school called Yogalistic. Yoga and Listic, because she's also a holistic therapist. She teaches massage, reflexology, and is it the OP candles, earwax thing?
Hopi ear candling.
That's it, OP ear candling. I've had that done once years ago. Dionne did her she's been doing yoga for, I think she said 18 to 20 years, did you say, Dionne?
Yeah, I started practicing yoga about 18, 20 years ago. When I say practice, I started going to yoga classes about 18, 20 years ago.
Right, okay.
And my practice really only developed, I'd say, quite recently, 5 years ago.
Right.
And I think there's a big difference between going to a yoga class and actually practicing yoga. You know, it's like when you go to a class, you go maybe for the physical thing. And over that time, I'd go to classes, and I'd move away, and I'd put my time somewhere else in the gym or teaching aerobics or walking. And then I just found that I got drawn back to yoga all the time.
Mm.
You know, and I'd find that if I was in my room feeling like I needed to do something physical, I'd start doing some sun salutations. And maybe I'd not been in the yoga class for weeks or months.
Right.
So I just thought that over the years, I think this is the one for me. You know, I'd done all the other extremes, the gym work and the aerobics and the running about, but it was yoga that drew me back all the time.
Right. So it sounds like there was an innate pull back to it, just the very fact that your body seemed to want to do the salutes to the sun, for example.
It did feel that, and that there was always like there's certain some twists and, you know, some salutations and just some things that I always found I was drawn to that made me feel good. And then I found that yoga, out of everything that I've done, for me personally, yoga had the biggest impact on the way I felt in my body shape. So I knew then that there must be something there that's right for me. So then I was realizing as I was more mature and all these other fads gave away, that was my place. It was yoga that was for me.
Right, cool. And it's interesting. It's always interesting to me how many crossovers there are when I speak to people, whether it's about yoga or some of the other subjects I cover. But I was pretty much the same. I was very into fitness from a teenager. I've been very much into weight training and bodybuilding and all that kind of stuff, running. And I was dragged along to a yoga class quite by Sheila, my partner, when I think I wasn't quite 40. And I was really I always make the joke, it was a kicking and screaming thing. I was pulled along, but I more or less got hooked on it straight away, which I was quite surprised about. And like I say, I still enjoy the other aspects of keeping fit, but to me, it's just the all round aspect of yoga. It's not just about your body, is it? It's just so good for the grounding of the mind and settling down.
Yeah, well, I was sort of taken on to my first yoga classes by my mum, who'd been into fitness and yoga for many years.
Yeah.
And she took me along, and I probably spent the first six or more classes giggling my way through, you know, in these strange positions and things like that. And then all of a sudden I realised that actually this is something that my body is really enjoying, you know. Mm. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I got hooked from those early days because I kept moving away, but then the draw was just there. Right. Definitely. Well, you know, and it could have been that it was just the right teacher at the right time, or, you know, any of those things.
Yeah. Just things, everything coming into alignment.
Sounding
like hippies now.
Yeah. The stars align.
Well, that's, well, again, another coincidence there. When I first started my classes, I was probably really irritating everybody else because I was cracking jokes through the class when everybody was trying to get into the zone.
Yeah.
But then that slowly dropped away as I got, like you say, I thought, shut up, Mark, and just get on with what you're doing here, you know, just be in the moment, be in the postures, be in the breath.
Yeah. So, and the amount of times I've been in a class and I've suddenly said, you want me to do what? Are you joking? You want me to do what with my legs?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're having a laugh. And then I realise that actually, no, she's not having a laugh. I can actually just make an attempt and have a go. I think it's a challenge and it's so rewarding. You know, not getting there at the end of the posture, but just that start learning about yourself. Learning about your body.
Yes.
And, you know, everything sort of, there's so many people in my classes that suddenly realise, you know, they've got an imbalance or one side stronger than the other or one side more flexible than the other. That's what yoga does. It shows you who you are, which I find quite fascinating.
Yeah.
And not only physically, but mentally as well. You know, you see people getting really frustrated with themselves and really angry, or they have that yoga pose envy that they're looking at the one next to them. Like, why can't I do that? And I think it tells us a lot about the person we are, which I always find is quite interesting as well.
Yeah. You suddenly start shining on your light, on your egotistical traits. Like I said, that the ego thing is very interesting.
There's a lot of ego.
And I think that's what, to me, to be honest, I didn't even really know what the word ego was, really. It was one of them where I always thought, when I heard the term ego, it was talking about somebody who was a big head, you know, like these stars, or they said they got a big ego. So it was interesting to me that it's just that point of thinking who you are all the time and the thinking mind. So but I want to rewind a little, because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. So I want to ask you about your training in a while. You talked about when your teacher asks you to go get your leg behind your ear, or she wants me to do what. And I think sometimes people have the misconception that that's what yoga is about, isn't it? You've got to event, the goal is to be able to get your head, leg behind you. That's just one of the places you can aim to. And if some people may never get there, but they may be yogis.
And
some people may be able to get the leg behind their head straight away and they're not actually doing yoga properly because their mind's all over the place.
Yeah, so exactly. When I take a new class, I always say to them at the beginning, you know, the first hardest thing about yoga is getting here physically on your mat. The second hardest thing is arriving mentally in your practice.
Yeah.
Because without the mental, without the concentration, without the breath, you're just doing physical postures, which is great physically. You know, it might make you feel better, it might make you more flexible, stronger, but it's not actually really practicing yoga. So there's a lot of that. And I always say, like, the posture work, it's not about getting to the end of the posture, about looking great in your Trikonasana or, you know, whatever posture is the most challenging. What is the best about yoga is finding your place in the posture. And that just might be, you know, a millimetre further than you were last week. It might not be that far this week. It's just finding where you're at, where your body's at, and being comfortable with that place. And feeling the benefits of being there and not constantly thinking, I need to get my hand to the floor, I need to get my leg higher, I need to get this. Just find that place and just be there and breathe there, I think is most important. So, you know, people say, oh, I can't be a yogi because I can't do this or I can't do that. And it's not just you don't even practice yoga on the mat. You know, some of the worst practice a lot, but they're doing physical practice. So,
and
there's so many parts of yoga as well. I met with a yoga teacher this week. We had a lovely chat and we were talking about all this. We were talking about our place in yoga and what we found challenging and what we found rewarding and what yoga is. And she was telling me about a yoga teacher that she knows who she highly respects. And he said once that yoga is massive. You know, it's not just about the physical postures. It's not just about the breathing. You know, we've got our eight limbs of yoga. So we've got our yamas and niyamas, which are like our 10 commandments, if you like, our moral obligations, personal disciplines. So to be a yogi, you could just practice those.
Yes.
Just practice being a good person is the first step of being a yogi. Then you've got your asana practice, your posture practice that you do on the mat. You've got your pranayama, your breath control. You've got your pratyahara, which senses draw. And then you go on to your meditation and those kind of things. So, and she said that this teacher said to her, you don't need to do all of those things to be a yogi. Just do one. Just find the one that you're comfortable with. And be there, be in that place. Just start anywhere, but just start. You know, not for everybody, the posture practice is not for everyone. They might be more of a meditator. They might not, and there's some yogis that might not even realize what wonderful yogis they are because they're practicing their moral obligations and their personal disciplines wonderfully throughout their life. And they may not even realize that they're being yogi or yogi-like. So yeah, there's so much. There's so yoga is so big. For me, it's the physical practice that's drawn me in and that I found myself being in. And I struggle with things like meditation. I'm a person, you know, I have my demons, but and I can feel that as I practice yoga more, that's changing as well. That I am more interested now in the pranayama, in the breath control. I am more interested in giving myself time to meditate, whereas a few years ago that just wouldn't enter. It would just be about the physical. So I think yoga does change it, but you don't have to do it all to practice yoga. Just start somewhere.
Yes. Dion.
So just in the place that you're comfortable with, and then you find that things lead on from that.
Yeah, and I think that's the important aspect of that things, it automatically leads on. It's like, say, that there's a dissolving somehow of all maybe the traits that aren't helpful to us, or traits that just seems a term to say. And it just, like, it very much happened for me like that. I started purely for the physical aspects. So it was very much, I came along initially and my arm was twisted because I was told it was Ashtanga yoga that was the more physical aspect.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that feels to my, again, the male ego. Like, oh,
yeah.
I'm doing yoga, then at least I'll do a tough one.
Yeah.
And then I found very quickly, I was bought a few books for Christmas on yoga, and it was, I actually wanted books solely on the postures, but I ended up with books on the philosophy of it.
Yeah.
First I was like, oh, bloody hell, what's all this malarkey, you know? But I picked them up and I was just pulled into them like instantly. It was just, and I was really, and in many ways that's where my attention has kind of shifted. I'd say it's more into the yoga of study, the jhana yoga, isn't it? More of the knowledge and then self-inquiry and all those kind of things. So it's very interesting. You step onto the yoga mat and who knows where it's going to lead you. But it always seems to lead people. Not to some people, like you say, they step on a mat once and they might not come again back to it for another 10 years. Once you've hit that mat, it's very interesting to me what can unfold and what can start happening to people.
Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, stepping on the mat and then maybe not returning. There's so many different styles of yoga, and there's so many teachers out there. So I always say to somebody who's come to me and they're new to yoga, if you don't like my class, if you don't gel with me as a teacher or a person, and if you don't like the style that I teach and other style of yoga that I teach, please don't not go to yoga. Go to other classes. Go and try them out. There's something out there for everyone. It's like the Ashtanga, if you want a strong yoga, if you want something that flows, or if you want something gentle and stretchy. There's just so many. And you can have the same style of yoga and 10 different teachers, and there might just be that one that you gel with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've come out of yoga classes thinking, oh, that is terrible. That was the worst class I've been in. That's awful. I'm never going back. And I've overheard somebody saying how wonderful it was and how it was the best class I've been in. So you know, it's very personal, yoga, I think. It's very personal about finding your style and your teacher. And someone that can guide you in the right way, that can understand what you want from yoga and not push you into those areas that you're not comfortable with.
Because I think I had this conversation with Juliet, and I mentioned my first teacher. She was very open about delving into the spiritual side and philosophical side. And she'd had some people leave because they didn't want that. They only wanted, they were just interested in the postures. But like you said, there's many different forms of yoga, but they're all beneficial. They're all beneficial.
Yeah.
I was listening to an Indian guy, Sadhguru, who's quite a famous yogi. And he was talking about all the different styles of yoga. And somebody asked him has the essence of yoga been lost? Because of all these new like styles that are jumping up. And he actually said similar thing to you really in many ways. He said there's no such thing as bad yoga, he said, because he said it's like giving a, what did he say, he said imagine a farmer is given a jumbo jet and he doesn't know what to do with it, and he takes the wings off it, and he ends up basically making this tractor out of that is like a jet plane. And he said even some of the what people might call not true yoga aspects are like that. People still get some benefit from it.
Yeah.
And then eventually they might think, oh, what are these wings for? You know, and then it slowly develops and develops.
Yeah.
So it's very true. It's very true.
I like that. I feel that that's what's happened with me and my yoga, and now I'm starting to put the wings on. So, yeah, my tractor's going. It's not going as smoothly as I'd like it to go, but, you know, I'm ready to move on. And yeah, it's just adapt it. Use it the way you need it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we spoke before this conversation about bad yogis. You asked me if we were going to, you know, if I wanted to interest in doing this interview. And I said, only if you want to interview a bad yogi. And people said, not a bad yogi. I feel like I'm a terrible yogi. You know, I think there's an idealism that people, you know, who practice yoga jump out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, do their 90-minute yoga practice and their meditation, and, you know, all before breakfast, and then they go on to have a wonderful day, and they're nice to everybody, and they don't have any wicked thoughts. And it's just not true. I'd love to be that person, but at the end of the day, we're human. I struggle to get out of bed of the morning. I would much prefer to lie in bed for another hour than to get up and get on my mat. Although I feel really guilty about it, I should have done my yoga. And I much prefer to practice my yoga in the afternoons, but then life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what really frustrated me about being in the UK and having a 9-to-5 job was the routine. You get up in the morning, you get the same journey to work, you work with the same people, you come home at the same time, you do this. But in that routine, I could do my yoga. And I always knew that if I couldn't do it for an evening, I could get it in at lunchtime. And, you know, there was always space there. And I found that since I moved to Spain 12 months ago, there is no routine. And I've been told that there isn't any routine in Spain, no matter how long you're here for. I'm trying to find my space. And life has been getting in the way. You know, we're kind of new to Spain, new to living here. We've got lots of things to do. And I dedicate, you know, I'm definitely going to do my yoga this afternoon. And then I find that I've been gardening for too long, or somebody's asked me to go somewhere, or I need to go and see a lawyer or something. So what I've tried to do, because we've got a big garden and we've got a lot of land to do, and you're a gardener, Mark, aren't you? So you'll get this. Gardening's dangerous in Spain.
Oh, yeah, everything's got spikes on it.
Everything's dangerous.
Bite you,
And we've got very steep banks, which I found myself trying to balance on the other day with a very heavy petrol strimmer. I've been climbing trees with, you know, a handheld saw, trying to balance there. So I found that I've taken my yoga there. So when I've not been able to do my yoga in the morning, or I feel like that I'm spending too much time in the garden, then that's where I'll be. I will put my yoga mind. So I found myself in garland pose in the last so many times during the reading, and I'm thinking, just be here, this is good for the hips. I found myself, you know, you have to concentrate, you have to be aware of what's going on, you have the spikes. Awareness is kind of focused for me. It's turned out to be like a meditation. Climbing up a tree, you know, I'm thinking of balance and breath and stretching. So I've kind of, although I'm not on my mat physically going through my asana practice, I feel that I'm getting my yoga elsewhere. Maybe that's just me trying to not feel so guilty, but I do feel it's given me, you know, lots of, if not more, of the benefits.
Yeah,
and it's just trying to find your yoga practice in different places. I think it's what it's taught me in the last 12 months.
Yeah, it's bringing the yoga into your life. It's like they say, they talk about it being a lifestyle, and I think people do, like say, I can relate so much. I prefer to do my yoga I quite often didn't do the yoga in the morning and would be beating myself up. You know, I'm quite often doing some form because I like to read. When I get up in the morning, I like to read.
Yeah.
And it's usually something philosophical or something, you know, since I got deeply interested in all this stuff. And invariably, before I knew it, it was too late to do any asanas, and it'd be time to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, then I've just started doing it after I've had a shower and I've come home from work, you know.
Yeah.
And some days I do it, some days I don't. And I've learned to just, the more I tend to think about it, the more I won't do it the next day. Whereas, you know, the more I think, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. If I've got time, I'll do it. And invariably, I'm a lot more relaxed about it now. But something I was reminded of then when you talked about yoga, being mindful in the garden, for example, being present in the garden. I think I was reading somewhere once, and this guy was talking about, even, for example, you can practice the pranayama. Imagine you're stuck in a queue in the bank.
Yeah.
Perfect time to just think, now I'm, instead of getting stressed and frustrated that you're in this, well, if it's anything like the UK, I don't know, but here, it's, every time I go to the bank, I'm usually in there at least 20 minutes. But it's 20 minutes you can be doing some form of breathing exercise, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, I often, when I take my students through Siddhartha Mountain Pose, and I get to feel that strength and stability of Mountain Pose, I say, use this. In everyday life, if you feel like you're in a confrontational situation or a stressful situation, go into Siddhartha. Nobody needs to know you're doing it. You're strong inside, and I think mentally it gives you that mental strength to deal with whatever you're facing. So there's lots of things when you can be practicing your breath in the queue, or, you know, a strength in a pose. When people don't, you know, around you, probably don't even notice. Just do it. Just go there for that nice place.
And
you feel better for it, definitely.
And people begin to see that there is that aspect of us that is unmovable. I think that's that. I quite often say that to my students if we're in a challenging pose, and sometimes I might keep them there for a breath or two longer than I normally would. And I'd say, just breathe into it and just relax into it and smile into it even.
Smile.
And then I can hear them under the breath probably saying, you bastard, you know?
But I'll say then
just remember this next time you're in a seemingly, or you're in what we would call a stressful situation. And just remember this now and bring it into that. And there's that clarity that can be with us all the time.
So
it's just remembering in the moment, so isn't it?
That's a difficult thing, isn't it, remembering? Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, not beating yourself up too much, not thinking that, you know, every day I think, I wish I was a better yogi. So that, you know, I am mentally, but I wish I was a better yogi. I wish I got up this morning to practice my yoga. I wish I gave myself time to do meditation. I wish I understood more about my mudras and my mantras. And but then I think, you know, does that make me any worse of a yogi than somebody that does jump out of bed and you know, and you know, does it pranayama every day? I'm not sure that it makes you worse a yogi. It just makes you a different yogi.
Yeah. Like I said, so many different styles and aspects to it, isn't it?
Yeah. There was a teacher of mine before I moved to Spain, and she was wonderful. And I'm gutted that I didn't come across it earlier on, years and years and years ago. I only had about 6 months of on and off practice with her, but she was the most amazing teacher. And she posted something on Facebook this week that really hit a chord about false yogis, if you like.
Right.
And somebody had left her something. It was from the Ladybird Book of Mindfulness, and it's quite a funny little picture she's put on, where it made her think about how people take yoga too seriously.
Mm.
So if it's okay with you, I'd just like to read you what she's actually said here.
Yeah,
and she starts talking about, you know, that some yoga people take themselves and yoga far too seriously. And it becomes more like a religion or a cult rather than a way to help us to live with more ease and lightness.
Mm.
She says, in her words, I've seen these false spiritualist yogis and people, you know, putting people down and judging them without having even met them. Doing some yoga, teaching yoga, reading the Upanishads and the sutras, doing the forward bend and then some breathing does not make you a guru, more spiritual, and nor does it give you permission to put others down for not following your idealized cult-like attitude. She says some of the best yogis she knows have never stepped foot on a yoga mat.
Yeah.
And some of the worst people that she's met have been through the yoga community.
Yeah.
Yoga is an amazing practice, physically and mentally. It's astonishingly good for you, but it isn't the be-all and end-all of life. Do other things. Try something new, eat well, support your family, close friends, and stop taking life and yoga so seriously.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that just made me feel so much better about me and my yoga practice, and about some of the yogis that I've met that I've come away thinking, oh, I'm so terrible, I'm just a bad, bad yogi. You know, and maybe it's not been me that's been the bad yogi, maybe it's been them for making me feel like I'm a bad yogi.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I just loved her words, and it really, it just hit a chord with me.
Yeah, and I think I want to just to emphasise what you're saying once again about the, some people have never stepped on a mat and a brilliant yogis, and
yeah,
and the asanas, it's just a tiny aspect of what yoga is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just about being, really being present in life and seeing what happens from that space. And I think that's beautiful things unfold.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you know, and great, the asana practice is fabulous, and it does make us feel good, and it's good for our body, and if it gets you on your path of yoga, that's brilliant.
But
if it's not for you, then it's just so, the yoga world is so vast.
Yeah.
You know, just find your place and do something for yourself. Just start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, let's. Do you mind if we jump back? Because I'm.
Okay.
I've been to India a few times. I just love India. And you mentioned to me before you came on that you did your training in India,
mm-hmm.
and I did some of my training in India as well. So I'm just. Would you like to tell us about that? What inspired you to? Well, first of all, let's talk about what made you decide you suddenly got to the point where you thought, oh, I want to do a teacher training course.
I can. So I started off teaching Keep Fit aerobics,
right.
And probably about the same time in my studio. And then I realised that I was in my stretching and cool down at the end of my aerobics classes. I was actually starting to do yoga stretching, cool down, some of the postures. So I was thinking, here you go. So that was a long time ago, and as I say, I left the yoga studio, went back, and then when I was a little bit fed up of the aerobics teaching, and I realised that what I was wanting to do more was teach the yoga postures, because at the time I wasn't into all the other part of yoga, it was more the postures. So I started thinking about, well, I don't want to be teaching these postures and not be a yoga teacher. I think that's the wrong way to go. Someone who's just done, you know, like a personal training course or teaching aerobics, I don't think can suddenly just start teaching stuff all the folds and call themselves yoga teachers. Mm. So I started looking then into yoga teacher training, and I got a bit disillusioned in the UK. I felt like there wasn't a lot of places to go to for that. I was from the northwest, from Liverpool, but when a lot of yoga schools doing teacher training, so it was always in London or leaving the country.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what my future was going to hold, so I was thinking, could I invest this much over so many years going down to London one weekend a month to do this teacher training, when in a couple of years I might be in Spain and I won't be able to finish it or won't be able to get back. So, and then I contacted the British Wheel of Yoga, and I was basically put off because although my yoga teacher was amazing, she'd studied with the Yoga for Health Foundation many years earlier and she was a brilliant teacher, the British Wheel of Yoga wouldn't let me do their teacher training course unless I'd been training with a British Wheel of Yoga teacher for at least 2 years. I believe now that that's changed, and there are other amazing yoga teachers out there that aren't just from British Wheel of Yoga. But that put me off. I found that really disillusioned, so I left it again for a few years. And then I started again, and I started going to more classes again. And I started getting a little bit frustrated of some of the classes I went to, because I realised not that they weren't good teachers, but just that they weren't right teachers for me at the time.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh, I want to do this. I want to be teacher training. And there was a girl in work. I worked in an office, a big office, and there was a girl, and all of a sudden I heard that she was going to India to do a yoga teacher training. And I didn't even know that she did yoga. You know, we chatted in the office, but we didn't know a lot about each other. So it was just a few days before she went to India, and I was like, you know, what's this course going on? How are you going there? Why are you going there? And she said that her teacher had been, and her teacher was amazing, and she had really good feedback about the course. So she showed me the website, and she told me all about what the course program was, and off she went to India. And I come home from work that night, and I've been chatting to my dad about what she told me. And then I went out to do something, and when I come home, my mum was there, and she said, I believe you're going to India next year. I was like, what? And then I realised then that I was so excited talking to my dad about it, that obviously he'd seen in me that this was something that I really was excited and wanted to do. So before I realised myself that I committed myself, then my parents realised that it was something that I needed.
Yeah.
So when my friend from work was away, I looked into the course, I looked into the course program, I looked into the teacher, and then by the time she got back, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do this. So I spoke to her a little bit more about her experience, and then that was my journey to India. Done to 12 months later, I was on the left of the country on my own. I got a flight over to Spain on my own. That's about as much as I did. Right. I drifted back to London from Liverpool on my own. But apart from that, I'd never really been away from home. I'd never been away to university. Right. For me, it was a huge step, you know, to go to India on my own for 5 weeks and live this life. And it was, I can't say that I love India. It's not the place for me, but I loved this place. The course, the teacher. I felt so comfortable there. I didn't feel intimidated or concerned about anything, and it just felt so right. It was the best thing, and it was quite amusing because all these travellers were on this course. You know, you find when you go to India that there's lots of people from all over the world, and there's a big difference between a traveller and a holiday maker. I like to travel, but I'm a holiday maker. I'm not a traveller. Yeah. All these people are travellers and their backpacks, they've been everywhere. Every one of them got sick. Every one of them with the Indian thing. And I think with the yoga, because our teacher said, you know, you'll have old injuries that reappear, you know, with everything that, you know, mental changes and physical changes and just things that yoga manifests and needs to get rid of before you get better. And I was the only one, I think, in my course that just felt amazing the whole time. And that was probably because I never ate any street food. I made sure I had my coconut water every day, like medicine. I had my natural yogurts. I am a meat eater, another bad yogi thing. I do eat meat. I didn't in India, just stuck to all the vegetables. And I felt amazing. I never felt so alive. We were up at 4:30 every morning. We studied and worked and practiced all day. It was intense. I know you had a discussion with Juliet about, you know, the short course versus the long several years courses. But for me, it was the best way for me to learn, just completely immersed myself away from any distractions at home or life, or, you know, there was nothing there for me other than the yoga at the school.
Sounds like heaven to me.
it was, you know, and I'm planning on going back next year.
Whereabouts was that being?
In Mysore, yoga capital of the world. It was in Mysore. It was in Ananda Yoga India. So India spelled I-N-D-E-A.
I'd love to go to Mysore.
And it was with an amazing teacher called Bharat Shetty. He's actually just been in Spain last week. He was doing a workshop over the Pyrenees. But I didn't make it because I'm saving up my pennies to go back to India and do my 500 hours with him next year.
Right, fantastic.
So that was my yoga journey for teaching.
Yeah, it's on my list of places to go to Mysore, along with Tirumaravali. I can never say it. The place where Ramana Maharshi used to live. At the foot of, well, there's a town at the foot of Arunachala, Tirumaravala. I can never say the, anyway, there's plenty of places I want to go.
My soul's amazing, and it's just full of like-minded people, and because it is the yoga capital of the world, there are a lot of these yogis that we've just spoken about. There's quite a lot of them walking the streets, you know. I've been to, I'm going to the Tata Joyce's school, and, you know, it's like, so there are some of them there, but there's just such amazing people, amazing characters, and people who just want to do what you're doing. You know, and I learned so much from the people that were on my training group. I just feel blessed to go. So I feel blessed for the beautiful Victoria Watkin, who went there before me and told me all about it. Who's been such an inspiration to me. And I'm looking forward to going back. I'm ready. I didn't feel that I could have gone back last year, but I didn't feel ready. I didn't feel like I'd taught enough. And I didn't feel like that I was in that place, and I was thinking, oh, we're going to do all these kriyas, all these, like, you know, nasal cleaning and other types of cleansing things and all of that stuff that I didn't feel ready for. But I do now feel that my yoga's progressed enough to go there.
Evolving, isn't it, Innes? And some people could jump on a yoga mat and they could be ready for all that in a month. Others might take 20 years, you know.
I feel like I've been drip-fed yoga.
Right.
Whereas I know that lots of yogis out there have just got that sudden hit, that yoga rush, and they're there. But for me, it's just been a little drip feed.
Yeah.
And that's worked for me.
Yeah, fantastic.
So I'm looking forward to taking them on. And I think teaching as well. Teaching has taught me so much about yoga and so much about me. You know, when I was practicing and before I did my teacher train, I had this ideal of, you know, what sort of teacher I would be and what classes I would do, and that changes so much because you learn so much from the students that come into your room and get on the mat, which I also feel blessed to you know, have those people come to me and share their yoga journey with me. It's always amazing.
Fantastic. Well, Dionne, I won't keep you much longer. Should we talk about the International Yoga Day that I know you're working very hard on at the moment?
Oh, yes, please do. Yeah, we should talk about that.
One of the reasons we're doing these conversations as well, not just for yoga, but we're open to encourage people to come along and have a look at what yoga's about if they don't already know what it's about.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little about that.
So it's going to be, yeah, what yoga's about. It's going to be about all sorts of things. So we've got, we're hoping to have, it's from 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock. It's on Sunday the 19th of June. And it's held at Bar La Cabana in Marara.
Right.
If you know Cafe Del Mar, it's right next to there on the beach. There's a big parking area. There's underground parking there as well, which I only found out about the other day, which nobody seems to know about.
Right.
So we're going to have four yoga classes taking place at 9, 10, 11 and 12. We're going to have Dru Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Shivananda Yoga and Laughter Yoga. So a little variety of different yoga classes, and I've not done some of those styles, so I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, I've not done Dru.
I'd like to see all the differences. So there are four classes.
Right.
We're going to hopefully as well have four workshops. We've not sorted them out yet, but we're definitely going to be having a meditation workshop. I'm going to see what other teachers want to volunteer to do some other types of workshops. And we're going to have some discussions. So you're going to be there, Mark, aren't you?
Yes. I've put my name forward. I'd like to come back to what I think yoga's about.
Yeah, so you're going to talk to us about the relevance of yoga in modern day life, is that right?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that. We're going to have somebody talking about the Yoga Sutras as well, relating to modern day life. We're going to have somebody talking about weight management and optimum health, following a whole plant food diet. Lots of different things going on. We've got lots of stores that if you just want to come along and you don't really want to partake in anything like that, come along and just see what's happening. Go to the stores. We've got angel and crystal card readings. We've got somebody with a Forever Living Aloe Vera store. We've got coconut oil honeys. We've got beauty things and pamper days.
It's got everything.
Somebody making hats. So hopefully somebody doing bioenergy. I'm going to have some yogi art to buy and all that stuff going on. And Bar La Cabana is going to put on some lovely lunch for us. So you can stay and have lunch. I think it's going to be a fun day. It's the first one, possibly won't go really smoothly, but it's just going to be fun. Just come along, have a chill out. Hopefully I'm going to ask some yogis just to come with their mats and just, you know, set up, put their mat on the grass and just do their yogi thing so people can see the different types of yoga that, you know, people can be doing. It's going to be a good day. All the projects, all the stores, all the classes and everything is going to go to the charity for the children's home in Benissa.
Say that again, Dion. The connection was a bit bad then about the charity thing.
Sorry, yeah, so all the proceeds from the day, from the stalls and from the classes and the workshops, are all going to go to EMAUS, which is the children's charity in Benissa. So everything's going to go to that. So we're going to start our participation is going to be €5 for one class, 9 for 2, 12 for 3 and 15 for 4, I think. So you can go to four different things. You can go to two classes, a workshop and a discussion, or you can go to four discussions or four classes, whichever way you choose. And it's all going to go down to email.
It's worthwhile coming along. It's for a good cause as well, yeah.
Definitely for a good cause. So if anyone's interested, they want to put their name down to partake in any of the classes or workshops or discussions, or they want to put their name down maybe just to help out on the day.
Any volunteers to urge people in the right direction.
Volunteers. Let people know where everything's going on, then get in touch with myself or Juliet.
And I'd like to say there's also that people, because it can be such an amazing journey, that first step, as we alluded to before, onto the mat, it can almost be like stepping onto a magic carpet, if that doesn't sound cheesy.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Dion, tell us about your classes as well, your own private classes that you do, your yoga school.
Yeah, okay. So I teach currently at the Jerome Centre in Alcalali on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. It's a beautiful venue. It's a really very spiritual venue. There's nobody that walks in there that isn't was immediately taken with the place. We've got a lovely mixed group, different ages, different abilities. I teach a half a class, so I talk through the postures in great deep, probably too much detail sometimes. So people can find their place in the posture, like we talked about before, you know. There's no pressure, they're a really friendly group. So that's the Dome on Thursday mornings. And I also teach in the We Health Club at Altea La Vella. Lovely health club, beautiful venue. We teach there on a Saturday morning at 10.
Maybe I'll come down to one of your classes there.
Please do! Yeah, Saturday morning at 10 or Wednesday mornings at 9:30. We've just started doing them now. Okay. And we also have another yoga teacher that teaches 4:30 on a Monday afternoon. And she often teaches a yin practice on a Monday afternoon. So that's nice. But it's a really nice venue. They've got a nice a bar there. You can just sit and have a coffee and relax. They've got a lovely swimming pool. You can get some lunch there. So, yeah, it's just, again, I feel very blessed to be given the opportunity to work there.
Right.
So, yeah, if you're ever in the area, come and join us.
Yeah,
it's a small group there. So booking it is, because it's got the spaces there. But I think it makes it all the better because we can really then focus on individuals rather than have a big group of people.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, Dionne, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And if people want to, like I say, I'll see you before the actual event.
Yeah.
International Day. Like I say, I might see you down at one of your classes on the Saturday morning.
Great.
But if people want to contact me, they can contact me on Facebook at Yoga Mark, or they can email at, well, best to just contact me on Facebook on Yoga Mark. I teach a class as well here in Albira, Alicante. Albia Altea, and I've been running these conversations now not necessarily just on yoga for over 2 years, and I've spoke to some very interesting people over the last 2 years, and all pointing back to the very essence of where I feel yoga can take people to. So if you find the philosophy of yoga interesting, you may find some of those conversations interesting. So you can catch some of those on iTunes under Ice Cream for the Soul or on Blog Talk Radio. So thanks again, Dionne.
Thank you, Mark.
And have a lovely rest of the evening.
I will, and you too, and we'll see you soon on your yoga mat.
Yeah, on the mat. So you stay on the air after I've stopped this recording, okay?
Okay, all right.
Then bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.